Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to know you. Help us to search for you and find you while we're searching for you. And God, give us strength to carry our cross. Amen. One of the things I've been doing, one of my jobs here, I guess you could say, at St. Michael's, has been to go through the church school wing and go through some of the materials that we have, kind of make stock of what we have, throw away some stuff, put stuff away, and see what we can use. And as I was doing this, this video here caught my eye. All I could see was a spline, and it says, St. Mark's Gospel, King James Version, performed by Alec McGowan. Well, this seemed like a treasure to me. I love the King James Bible, I love the Gospel of Mark, and I like Shakespeare. And in fact, I've seen Alec McGowan perform Twelfth Night. I've watched the BBC video version of it. So I took the video home, bought a television, and bought a VCR, and I put the tape in. Wow. It's absolutely brilliant. To see this wonderful actor perform all of Mark, he does it all from memory. He's seated on a stage, or he stands. He's got a table, two chairs, a pitcher of water, and a glass. And let me tell you, it is a captivating performance. And it reminded me of the huge difference that there is between reading a gospel and hearing a gospel. We must remember that when Mark wrote his gospel, he wrote it for people to hear. Most people at that time couldn't read. And Mark truly was a brilliant storyteller. In my opinion, he crafted the greatest story that was ever told. Mark wrote specifically to touch hearts and minds, to get people to know Jesus, who he was, what he had done for them, why he lived, why he died, how we lived, how we died. And after almost 2,000 years, Mark's story is still touching lives, still changing hearts and minds, and still introducing people to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Seeing Mr. McGowan perform Mark was very moving. At times I was laughing. I think I even teared up a bit, and I didn't even watch the crucifixion. I haven't got that far yet. And it made me think about the way in which we get the gospel most of the time. I mean, if we're reading it at home, we're probably reading little pieces of it. When we hear it at church, we get little pieces, one story each week. So we forget that Mark's gospel is this whole. In fact, not only did Mark intend that that people would hear his gospel, he intended that they would hear it all in one setting. Think about that. Think about being here on a Sunday morning and spending not an hour, 101 minutes listening to the entire Gospel of Mark. That's not something we're accustomed to. That's what they used to do. Or at least that's what Mark had in mind. And when we hear the gospel and hear it as a whole, we can see just how beautifully Mark crafted his gospel. And as I watched the video, I was reminded of that. Now, this performance of Mark is split up in two parts, and there's an intermission in between. And our gospel reading this morning comes just before the intermission. And this is purposeful. It's the natural break in Mark. This is the very midpoint of Mark's gospel. And at this point, Mark is, marking a turning point in the gospel and a turning point in the life of Jesus and his disciples. Up until this point, we've heard all about Jesus' teaching. We've heard him confound the scribes and the Pharisees. We've heard of his miracles. We've heard of his healings. We've seen demons cast out. We've heard the kingdom of God being proclaimed. And now Mark is kind of bringing everything up into this one point, this one moment, before he brings it all out again. This point in our gospel, in the gospel of Mark, Jesus is about to set his face towards Jerusalem. He is about to head towards the capital, the temple, to his confrontation with the authorities and the forces of evil, to the cross. And taking all this in mind, everything that we've heard in the first 8 chapters of Mark, we're now forced to draw some conclusions about who Jesus is. Before we get to hear the rest of the story, we must first consider who this Jesus is. This person, this man, this Son of God that we've been hearing about. Who do people say that I am? This is the first question that Jesus asks his disciples. They've heard the stories. They've heard the rumors, the theories. Jesus was a very big deal. And that's kind of putting it lightly. But people knew about Jesus. The word had certainly traveled. And so people were talking and people were drawing all their own conclusions. Some of the popular ideas of the time were that Jesus was Elijah, come again, as he was expected to come again at the end of the age. Some thought Jesus was John the Baptist, come back to life. Those were kind of the two big ideas floating around. But who do you say I am? That's the second question Jesus asked his disciples. Peter, their spokesperson, gave them the response, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." Now, this was absolutely true, but it needed some clarification. So Jesus gives them clarification and tells them just what it means for him to be the Messiah. He's going to suffer, he's going to be rejected, and he's going to be killed and ultimately rise again. But all of this was unthinkable, unfathomable, mind-blowing. The disciples had no frame of reference for this information that Jesus was giving them. The popular thought at the time was that the Messiah would be a powerful warrior, a great political figure who would avenge the oppressed Judean people. The Messiah was going to overthrow the Romans, not be overthrown. The Messiah was going to conquer, not be conquered. What Jesus was saying at best was wrong. At the worst, it was crazy. But Peter had to make sure that this could not happen. And I think the disciples were right there with Peter. Furthermore, and I'm sure the disciples knew this, if Jesus was going to suffer and be killed, then there was probably a good chance that they were going to suffer and be killed. So this whole following Jesus thing was starting to get dangerous. Therefore, Peter rebuked him. Peter grabs Jesus. He doesn't just tell him he's wrong. He takes him by the arm, pulls him aside, and says, "Lord, this cannot be." But then listen to Jesus' rebuke. "Get behind me, Satan. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Now, those same questions that have been asked to the disciples, that have been asked to the first hearers of Mark, are the ones that are being asked of us today. Jesus is asking us, "Who do people say that I am?" We hear it all the time, the popular answers. Jesus is a great teacher. Jesus was a great teacher. He was a prophet. He was a religious figure like Buddha, Moses, or Muhammad. Jesus is a son of God, just like we're all sons and daughters of God. And so on and so forth. We hear it all the time. But who do you say that I am? My friends, my brothers and sisters, You are being asked that question. I'm being asked that question. Right now, every day. And our answer to that question determines everything else that follows. Our answers determine what will happen with the rest of the story. If Jesus is who he says he is, if Jesus is really this wonder worker that we've been hearing about, this healer, this teacher, this revolutionary, this preacher, this Messiah, the Son of God, if Jesus is really all of these things, are we going to follow him? Are we really going to follow him? Are we going to go all the way to Jerusalem, all the way to the cross? Jesus is completely open about what's going to happen. It'll be many things, but it won't be easy. We will have to say no to ourselves. We will have to lose our lives. We will have to take up our cross. We will have to die. In his great work, Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. It's a powerful quote. And it's true. We must die if we truly want to follow Jesus Christ. And the ways we die are as many and as varied as the people in this room. We have to die to ourselves, to our dreams, to our plans, whatever might be contrary to the will of God. And sometimes, certainly in the case of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, might mean that we're actually going to physically die. Bonhoeffer suffered martyrdom. He was killed by the Nazis. So I'm sorry to say it, but there'll be no intermission this morning. But I want to leave you with these words we've already heard from Mark, and I pray that you'll let them rest in your ear and in your heart. But first, consider where Christ is headed. Consider the cross, and then ask yourself if you really follow. Who do they say that I am? Who do you say I am? Think about it. The answer determines the rest of the story, the rest of your story. And also keep in mind that death is never the end. Amen.